Charles with Tuxedo White Ridge, Councillor Sean Dobson of St. Charles Ward. We have our Madam Clerk with us tonight and representatives of our Planning Division as well. So this time I'm going to turn it over to our Clerk.
All persons who wish to speak or receive notice of the hearing body's decision or recommendation must fill out a public representation form and submit it to me as soon as possible. Copies of this form can be found at the registration table just outside the door at the top of the stairs. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, the process the committee will follow is the applicant will be heard first, followed by those in support of the application. Next, those registered in opposition are heard, followed by those registered for information. Finally, the applicant may return to speak in rebuttal to comments. However, no new information is permitted. Please note that when your name is called, it is your opportunity to speak. However, you are not obligated to do so. This is the public hearing process brochures, copies of which are available at the registration table. This brochure contains an overview of the process and other information pertaining to what happens before, during, and after a public hearing. As information, all public hearings are recorded and will be part of the public record. Should you have any questions after the public hearing is concluded, please contact the City Clerk's Department. Item 1 is a subdivision and rezoning at 5715 Roblin Boulevard under file DASZ 20/2014. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing and the following item will also be heard at the same time, namely item 2 is a variance at the said property under file DAV 136813/2014D.
Thank you. Thank you. I'd like to call our applicant forward this evening, Mr. John Wintrop. We invite you to welcome tonight and invite you to make your presentation, please. Thank you. Just one second, Mr. Wintrop. We just want to make sure we got you on and ready to go here. Can you try now, please? One more roll, please.
Not sure that's.
Can she get a few here?
I don't think so. I think that's what it is. I don't know.
Oh, I'll go to the foot patio. Okay, I'll have to reach. It's a little bit of an act here, but thank you. John Wintrop, 301-139 Roslyn Road, Winnipeg, Manitoba. I appreciate being here this evening on a very cold night. Also appreciate the residents who have come out here tonight. I'm going to keep my presentation brief. I'm going to touch on about 3 points.
I apologize. We're just having trouble hearing you, Mr. Wintrop. There are speakers on our desk here. Is it possible to...
I'll speak louder and because I do want people to hear me as well as people in the audience. Thank you. I'm going to only touch on about 3 points. I believe there's lots of people in the audience tonight. I do get a chance to come down here at the end and kind of address a lot of their concerns. The property here, the 3 things I really want to touch on in this presentation is the fact that the location of the property and its kind of surrounding characteristics, the fact that we've done some public engagement here, and ultimately what we've landed on for a project here. So we're here tonight for 5715 Roblin Boulevard. This is an air photograph looking down at the site. You can see McCollum to the northwest. Shelmerdine Drive to the northeast. That's our subject property there with a single family dwelling on it. You can tell it's an odd shaped kind of parcel. All the surrounding houses, at one time I'd been told this was the original kind of farmhouse for the river lot that extended down to Assiniboine River. And this is kind of the original lot. The previous owner kept it in such a manner and subdivided everything else off till this owner came along. This is just looking at the site. from an air photograph looking towards the north. You can see the multiple family to the northeast on Shalmerjean there, the single family dwellings. I just want to point out, and we'll get into this a little bit later on, the different sizes of lots and houses that are in this neighborhood and the mixture of housing forms that are out there. You have some very large houses, some very smaller houses, and some different lot sizes. And that's our subject property there. This is looking down directly at our property, a little bit zoomed in. You can see the property extends fairly deep into McCollum, where those parked cars are in the northeast corner or in the corner of the air photograph there is actually a touching right across from the property line that my client owns. There's a single-family dwelling to the north of him. So he has almost what's called a through lot that it goes from one public right-of-way to another public right-of-way. More importantly is where this purple arrow is actually a piece of city-owned land. There's a large land drainage pipe that extends down, and Craig Jasper can correct me, along Community Row that goes under the ground here. There's a pumping station directly to the west of the property here. So there's houses to the west of us, but we're separated by a large land drainage facility owned by the City of Winnipeg. Prior to my involvement in this project, there was a public open house back in 2013. I should stress that this has been an ongoing project for a couple of years now, prior to any election, prior to probably any of you even thinking of running. We've been very involved in this project for almost 2 years now. But back in 2013, there was an open house held by a different consultant. They went to the public and they had a lot of comments here that the project was too big, too high, too many people, too many cars, concerns about headlights and traffic, etc., and they didn't want to see the trees cut down. The project at that time was this, an entire multi-family development project, not even keeping the single-family dwelling, demolishing everything and radically changing the subject lands to two freestanding multifamily dwelling buildings. That project was going to be two 16-unit buildings for 32 units in total, 50 parking stalls, which would work out to one dwelling unit for every 1.5 parking stall. The buildings were going to be about 36 feet in height, which is actually exceeding currently right now the under the zoning bylaw for the lands. I can build up to 35 feet tall with 4-foot side yards, a 25-foot rear yard, and probably a 25-foot front yard. This project was going to exceed, so I can understand why at that time a number of people were not pleased with that project. It was quite large in scale. My firm was brought on to do some public engagement with the residents. The landowner wanted to really hear from his neighbors. He saw the reaction after the first time. He actually wants to get along with his neighbors, retain my firm. We went out and did a second public engagement. This was almost a year later. It took some time to get going to get that one. So we had that in 2014. We had an open house. It was very widely advertised. We used a website, social media, Twitter, etc. A number of flyers were dropped off in mailboxes, etc., in the surrounding community. We have a public engagement report that I'll hand in to you later, and you can take a look at it. It was very well advertised in the CanStar newspaper, etc. We really wanted more people to attend to this. The first public open house, I believe they had 19 people attend. We had 34 people come to the second one. So we tried to get as many people out as possible to get their input. At this time, we presented a completely different concept that was more based on the comments that we heard in the first public open house. And this is it. It's 9 units. This is a picture of it right here. At that time, we presented 10 units. Since then, in discussions with City of Winnipeg, we've actually scaled it down again after the public open house down to 9 units now. So we've gone from a progression from 32 to 10 down to 9. The idea now, and we heard from residents, is actually to, on the north end of the lot, is to create another single-family dwelling lot that is about the same size as all the other lots along McCollum and construct a single-family dwelling there of similar in size. Keep the existing single-family dwelling that currently fronts onto Roblin. We've actually talked to the City of Winnipeg about getting a driveway and approach across their adjacent land, the land drainage pipe, an easement to allow for a driveway. Water and Waste is okay with that idea, so the house would orientate itself more towards McCollum and kind of finishing off that corner. And then we're proposing three structures into the front along Roblin of 4, 3, and 2 units. The lot sizes that we're proposing are all consistent with what the neighborhood is. They're between a 7,000 square feet lot to the north for a single family dwelling. We would subdivide the, keep the existing house on lot 2 and create lots 3 and 4 and 5, the multiple family lots, which would be 9,000 square feet, 6,000 square feet, and 8,000 square feet. Once again, I've got a lot study here that we looked at the entire neighborhood, McCollum, Chalmerdine, and Roblin. The lot sizes are in that range between 6 to 10,000 square feet. Actually, the lot ranges go as small as 5,400 square feet up to 11,722 square feet. So we're within that range of lots for the average for that surrounding area. Our dwelling units are going to be approximately 1,000 square feet. The average for that area is approximately around 1,508 square feet. We're looking at three structures, 2 units, 3 units, and 4 units, 32 feet in height, which is below which is allowed under the single-family dwelling of 35. It's less than what was proposed at the original open house of 38. So we've scaled it down, trying to make the structures look as much as possible as a single-family dwelling. So it looks like from the curb you'd have 5 single-family dwellings about the same size of lots that are in the area and the same design characteristics. The only difference is that inside there would be multiple family dwelling units. We've provided a design package so that we're incorporating design characteristics of single-family dwellings. We heard that from the residents, so we're prepared to do that. We're having 2 parking stalls per dwelling unit for 19 in total. And we're only going to take, for the multiple family dwelling, and this is really important for the residents to understand, we're only coming off Roblin Boulevard. There is no multiple family traffic being directed towards McCollum or Chalmerdine. On McCollum, which is to the north, we're just going to have 2 single family dwellings. On Roblin, which is a 4-lane divided roadway and a bus route and a major trucking route, we would have, we would have our traffic going out onto that roadway that feels appropriate. Just once again, we just want to touch on that fact that the proposed lot sizes are consistent with the surrounding neighborhood. I looked at the average lot size along McCollum, 6,634 square feet. The average dwelling unit was 1,500 square feet. Roblin, the average lot size is 7,000 square feet. The average living area is 1,100 square feet. Chalmerdine, you can see the averages there. So we've tried to create the lot sizes to match which is in the surrounding community, not at the upper end, not at the lower end, but right in the middle in terms of the average. Our dwelling units that we're proposing on the lots are within the same size, so that is in the surrounding area. I should add all this information is from the city tax records and assessment. That's where it's coming from. Well, that's pretty much everything. I understand there's residents here. I look forward to hearing their comments and trying to address them at the end of the hearing. I will hand in some documents to the clerk to present them now. I do want to add that we do have, I'm handing to the clerk signatures of people who support the project. We did talk to the 2 adjacent neighbors. I met with them. I don't believe they're here tonight. Both have indicated they're prepared to support it. Handing in a study for the sizes of the lots in the surrounding neighborhood that we presented here. That's just scrolling through here. And I'm handing in my community engagement report that we did to indicate that we met with the residents and tried to capture their concerns.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Winthrop. Okay. Any questions for Mr. Winthrop at this time?
May I see the petition?
Okay. So as per our order, we go with all those in support and then to those that would be in opposition. So in support, I would call Matthew. Is it Nicholas? Do I have that correct? You okay? You don't need to appear? Okay. Thank you, Matthew. And then in support, Tori Rowinski. You okay? Don't need to. Okay. Thank you. And then Tim Seniak, Alyssa Seniak, and is it Mako Medeiros? I got that correct? You're good where you are? Okay, you don't need to speak at all, you're fine? Okay, you're in support, thank you. Okay, is there anyone else who is in support that perhaps didn't fill out one of these yet and would like to be recognized as in support or speak at this time? Okay, thank you.
Sorry, may I see those as well?
Which ones?
In support? In support.
Okay. Then in opposition, we'll move now to those in opposition. Rudy Kesson. Rudy, would you like to come forward at this time and speak in opposition? Right now? Yeah, you're welcome just to come to the podium. You just make your way down to the far end, past the flag there and down the stairs. That's right. What I'll do is I will just call your names, and you can be prepared to come in this order, just kind of line up. So Rudy Kesson, if you're wanting to speak, okay? Claire Nugent, Debbie Kesson, Braden Svensicki.
If you want to come down, there's some seats down here, and you can just wait, and then that way we're not waiting so much for people to come to the podium. For those individuals who are called that want to speak, if you want to come sit down, there's some benches back here.
And I'll call more of you in a little bit. So, Mr. Kesson, Rudy Kesson, thank you. Please state your name and address for the record.
Rudy Kesson, 19 Christopher Cove.
Thank you. Go ahead.
We feel a precedent was set in 2000 when the rezoning application for property on McAllen Crescent was denied adjacent to this property.
I'm sorry, we're having trouble hearing you. Sorry about that. Just one second. If you could just kind of speak slowly and then... Because we're picking up the sound from here today as well.
I'm hard of hearing, so you're talking to the wrong guy.
Okay. Thank you. Start again, please. Thank you.
Precedent was set in 2000 when the rezoning application for property on McAllen Crescent adjacent to 5715 was denied. Three single-family homes are now on that property. At that time, the individuals now seeking a rezoning variance at 5715 Roblin Boulevard were in opposition to the 2000 rezoning application. They are on the record stating some of the very reasons that we, their neighbors, have for opposing the current application. 57 Roblin Boulevard and the property I've referred to from 2000 are essentially adjacent to each other. I find it a hard pill to swallow that one can be opposed to condos in their backyard, but when the situation benefits that individual, they're willing to put multifamily dwelling units in their neighbors' backyards. We currently have several strategically placed multifamily dwellings in the vicinity. The condos at Roblin and Scottswood are what could be referred to as a major intersection in Charleswood, as it is a controlled intersection. Roblin Oaks at Roblin Boulevard and the perimeter occupy an area shared with commercial properties. Multi-level condos in River West Park were part of the original community. The rezoning application before you today would see two small single-family lots and a multi-family dwelling shoehorned in effectively, ruining our neighborhood aesthetic. As a community, we hope that you stand by the precedent set in 2000 and maintain the integrity of our neighborhood, thereby listening to the majority of our community as reflected in the number of signatures gathered by us in opposition rather than one individual. Thank you.
Are there any questions for Mr. Kesson at all? Just before you go, Mr. Kesson, just hang tight in case we have any questions for you. Thank you. We are still having trouble hearing
it.
Does she?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're just gonna have to make sure the mic's as close to them as possible.
Yeah. Okay. Can you just clarify, sir? I don't. maybe you haven't seen that part. You referred to a application in 2010?
No, 2000.
2000.
I don't know what the address would be. It would be on McCallum, where there's now three. If the map was up, I could show you, but there was an application for condos on that property where now three of our good neighbors live. Three homes were put up in lieu of condos.
Okay, we had trouble hearing that, so. Yeah, okay, that's fine. Thank you. Do you have any questions for Mr. Kessler at all?
And I'll just know, where do you live, Mr. Kessler? What street do you live on?
I'm sorry, now I can't hear you.
Yeah, do you live right on McCallum or?
Christopher Cove, 19 Christopher
Cove. Oh. 19 Christopher Cove.
Okay. Oh, great. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Claire Nugent?
That's correct.
Okay. Mr. Nugent, thank you. Go ahead. Can you please state your name and your address?
My name is Claire Nugent. I live at 42 McCallum Crescent. And I've been living there.
Close to your. Just pull the microphone close to you. Thank you.
Sorry.
We don't usually have our meetings. There's a lot going on at City Hall. We don't usually have our meetings in this room, so hence the challenge. Thank you.
My name is Claire Nugent, and I live at 42 McCallum Crescent and have lived there for the past 12 years with my family. This is the property on McCallum, directly west of the easement next to the property in question. I want to make it very clear that we as a family and as one of many voices in this community are strongly opposed to the proposed rezoning and variances being suggested for 5715 Roblin Boulevard. As we discuss these proposals with our friends and neighbors on McCallum, Elmvale, Shelmerdine, and Roblin, no matter if they were young or old, we all spoke to a common motive that attracted us all to move into our beautiful neighborhood. We spoke to the quaintness of Charleswood, the green space that it offers, the abundance of mature trees and the country charm, the small neighborhood feel with larger lots. It's a safe place to raise our families, which includes on our roadways are safe. It's a quiet neighborhood. And we enjoy the consistent look of our neighborhood, that being single family dwellings. If there were multiple family units in existence, we would not have moved into this neighborhood. This proposal raises many concerns to us all. Multifamily units are not consistent with the character or look of our neighborhood. The neighborhood has been developed with single family units, and this proposal does not allow for the retention of the appearance or the attractiveness of the single family residence area. This is not a responsible development for our neighborhood and does not benefit our community at all. Reference was made to those meetings, which were great, but one of the main concerns that we voiced was this very issue, the issue that we did not want multiple family units in this community. Even though the proposal allows for two parking stalls per unit, this does not address the parking concerns on the adjacent streets, primarily McCallum and Shelmerdine. Families with more than two vehicles or having visitors over will create additional parking concerns. There is no parking on Roblin, and which is correct because that would be a safety concern. Shelmerdine already has parking concerns with the overflow parking from the co-op housing. And McCallum already has limited parking, and the proposed driveway access to lots 1 and 2 will further decrease available parking for all the families. The urban planning report states that the vehicle traffic associated with the townhouses will be limited to an approach from Roblin, but due to the overflow parking that we know will occur, there will be increased traffic in our neighborhood and the surrounding areas. And this is, as I said, evidenced by the impacts of the Shelmerdine Housing Co-op on the vehicles that are exiting there up Shelmerdine and up Elmvale. With a higher density of population in a small area that the multi-family units will give, there will be an increased noise level, which is not consistent with the quiet neighborhood that we currently live in. It will add additional noise. And we'll see a loss of the mature trees that is bound to happen. Even though the developer has stated they will try to maintain a certain number of mature trees, many of the trees are oaks. And when stressed with the nearby building and construction, they will be negatively impacted and die. And I can vouch for that because when we built our home on McCallum Crescent, we had a number of mature oak trees on our property, and we tried to do as much as possible to save them, to build boxes around them, but we've lost three trees already. The current proposal does not go far enough to save the mature trees that have been around for generations, nor does it provide adequate screening between the properties. If you drive down Roblin, you will see beautiful trees along Charleswood, and that's what we're known for. This proposal, you will have a lot less trees on Roblin to view. There will be increased litter and odors to surrounding properties, and it is not known where the garbage bins are to be located. Some of those neighbors will be impacted negatively due to this increase in garbage requirement of a multifamily dwelling. And everyone loves their privacy, but we'll have privacy issues to the surrounding properties as the townhouse unit will be higher and sit above them. The proposed height of the townhouses of 32 feet is really pushing the envelope on being compatible with what already exists in our neighborhood. The multifamily units will also negatively impact adjacent property values. And it will also have an impact when someone wants to sell of the potential buyers who want to look at those properties. And that is not fair for the people who remain in that neighborhood. And how do we ensure or control the lighting impact to the adjacent adjacent properties, how it spills over? This has not been addressed in this application. The urban planning report encourages to include a full life cycle of housing needs within the community. This is already met with several life cycle housing in the area, including the Shelmerdine Housing Co-op. We have a couple senior complexes, we have a nursing home, as well as condos situated right on Roblin Boulevard, all in the area. Sacrificing the look and consistency of the neighborhood by building townhouses is certainly not needed in this lot to fulfill the full cycle housing needs in our community. The addition of two more driveway accesses along McCallum for the proposed Lot 1 and 2 will eliminate the walkway along the city easement for the residents of McCallum and Elmville. This walkway is used by many residents, including students crossing Roblin to go to school. Losing this access will require the residents to walk quite a distance more to access Roblin, which is not particularly desirable, especially in the winter months. And if you'd like to see what that access looks like, I have a picture here for you. Lot 1 and 2 do not conform to the rest of the neighborhood, with minimal to no frontage on these proposed lots. The current proposal appears to be jammed into a small space, and that is not consistent with the beautiful front yards and trees the rest of the neighborhood has. We need to develop housing that is complementary and compatible to the neighborhood, which this proposal does not. Even though the proposed square footage of lots 1 and 2 is similar to a very small sample of the homes, I believe they quoted 3 in the urban development report, as this is not consistent with the majority of the homes in the area. Even the homes with similar small square footage have a large frontage that is consistent with the rest of the neighborhood. Sacrificing the integrity and character of our neighborhood, which will impact all families in the area, for the personal gain of one family should not be considered. This proposal is not visionary. or something that enhances or is beneficial for the community. As indicated in the urban planning report and our own discussions in the neighborhood, the proposal does not have support of the sweeping majority of the residents. I hope the board understands the intense displeasure with this proposal and any proposal that includes multifamily units and any single family units that does not conform to the current standards in our community. The proposal definitely does not serve the best interest of all the residents of the neighborhood. Thank you for allowing me to speak.
Thank you, Mr. Nugent. Near the end there, we could hear you even better, so that was great. Appreciate that. So do you have any questions at all for Mr. Nugent at this time?
I just have one quick question.
Sure. Councilor Moran?
Just to clarify, your home is it's the one immediately on McCallum to the west of the proposed development?
That is correct.
Okay. And that's all I wanted to ask you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good. Thank you. Okay. At this time, in opposition, if you'd like to speak, I'll call upon Debbie Kesson. Would you like to speak? No? Okay. Thank you. Brady Svensicki. Have I got that right? Good. Okay, you don't need to speak. You're just recorded as in opposition. Thank you. Ron Ledbrook, would you like to speak, Ron? We invite you at this time. Okay, we're calling Ron and following Ron. Kathy, I don't know if you would like to come as well. Kathy Ledbrook. And then Ann Nugent. Ann, would you, where's Ann? Would you wish to speak, Ann? So Ron Ledbrook, then Kathy Ledbrook, and Ann Nugent. So Ron, welcome. Could you please just state your name and your address for us? Thank you.
Certainly. My name is Ron Ledbrook, and I reside at 36 McCallum Crescent, and that would be the property right next to Mr. Nugent, as he spoke earlier. So I'm the neighbor to the west of Mr. Nugent at 36 McCallum Crescent. For the record, I'd like to point out that for the opposition, we had 165 signatures finally come into opposition. That included 85 surrounding homes in the neighborhood as far as opposition goes for this particular zoning variance and multifamily housing. I'd like to point out that a few of the ingredients of why the opposition is for the multifamily and the zoning. Multifamily development is a drastic change for this area of Charleswood, which has been developed as a single-family neighborhood. The increase of traffic to affected streets, which includes Shelmardine, Sandy Cove, Christopher Cove, Elmville, Community Row, McCallum Crescent, and Roblin Boulevard, would be a detriment to the neighborhood. Congestion of parking on residential side streets, which relates to the safety of children playing in their residential neighborhood. And the overall concern for noise, safety, privacy, and possible decrease of property values. Charleswood is a standalone community, and therefore a multifamily housing does not contribute to the interaction and development of our neighborhood, and a decrease in the quality of living in that particular area. I have a great difficulty in understanding the philosophy and mindset of the owners at 5715 Roblin Boulevard when in March 14th of 2000, they strongly objected to the similar request at 5721 Roblin. That was in their opposition at the time. They stated at the meeting, and I quote the statement that came out in the meeting, that Mr. and Mrs. Patty Sanook, I hope I've pronounced their name correctly, advised that their home is directly east of the subject property, and that the two proposed condominium units would look directly into their front lot, while the other units would look onto the side of their home. They advised that they had purchased their property because it was secluded, tranquil, and beautiful, and located in a park-like setting. In this connection, they commented that if they wanted to live in a concrete jungle, they would have purchased their home in a different area. Mrs. Sanook indicated that she would prefer the development of single-family homes as opposed to multifamily ones. Councillor D. Smelt responded by questioning how the Sanooks would feel if there were three or four single-family homes butted up beside their house, to which Mr. Sanook indicated that is more likely if the trees remain and they were single-family homes thereby providing the Chinooks with more privacy. So I have a tough time with the philosophy and the change in the mindset. I purchased one of those single-family homes and built my home in those particular lots that were zoned in 2000, and I conformed to what the city wanted as far as zoning, as far as all the restriction that the city asked at that time. And I'm quite comfortable with all the regulations that the city puts forward to keep this as a single-family dwelling. I have a hard time believing all the people that you see here today that came out in strong opposition have been subjected to the stress, subjected to disarray mentally for the last 2 years of going to these forums and being subjected to what's going to happen to their property. They take extremely pride in their property. If you were to go down McCallum, any of those crescents that we talked about earlier as far as Elmvale, Christopher Cove, Roblin community, they're all beautifully landscaped. They are secluded. People take care of their lots. And I really have a hard time getting my head around, as taxpayers, the unknown restriction or the unknown that they have, wondering what's going to happen with the development of this property. Thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Mr. Ledbrook, just one
question.
Yes, we may have a question. Just hang tight there, please. Mr. Dobson?
You're in number 36, right?
Number 36.
Okay, now how old is the house?
The house, I built it in 2003, April of 2003.
So it's only 11
years old. I purchased
years
the land in April of 2002.
Okay, was it empty then?
It certainly was.
Okay. That's all I had to know.
No problem.
Councilor Morantz, anything? Okay, thank you. Mr. Ledbrook? Calling Kathy Ledbrook at this time to come forward, please. Following Kathy, I'm sorry, I couldn't see. Was Dan Nugent wanting to speak? Or? No? Okay, there you are. Sorry, couldn't see you. Thank you. Appreciate that. Eric Nugent? Sorry? Okay. Mariah Nugent? Okay. Murray Harding? Did I get that right? Just in opposition, okay. Sean Harding? In opposition? Just in opposition, okay. Alan Wright. I'll keep going until I get someone else. Okay. Mr. Wright, would you like to speak after this? No? Just registered as in opposition? Okay, thank you. Gene Wright, same. Just registered in opposition? Okay. Barbara Thiessen? You'll speak? Okay. Could you just kind of line up in the queue here? We'd appreciate that, following Kathy Ledbrook. Thank you. Kathy, would you go ahead, please? Welcome. Please state your name and address for the record.
My name is Kathy Ledbrook. I live at 36 McCallum with Ron, the guy that just spoke before me. He's my husband of 43 years. We built our dream retirement home. It's a bungalow. It has all my laundry utilities on the main floor. That land was zoned for single-family development, thanks to the people that are now opposed to it and wanting to put the multifamily in. There was five lots. There was two on Roblin and three on McCallum, and they wanted to put, and all the neighbors went together. There was only 24 of them then opposed to it, 24 people. We have 180 opposed to it tonight. There's a couple of things I want to address before I say, and it was due to the developer and the things that he said. First of all, none of this is personal. I don't even know the people. I've lived next door to them for 12 years, and I don't know them. You talk about lot sizes in the neighborhood. I think I'm on a medium lot. Next door is a small lot, and next door to me is a large lot. Doesn't matter whether they're small, medium, and large. They're all 25 feet from the curb or from the street because we don't have sidewalks. So the kids in the neighborhood play on the street, and there's more and more kids because us old people are moving away and younger families are moving into these single-family bungalows. The open house that he talked about before, they stuck a picture of two old people on it and said it was a retirement home. These multifamily things that they're proposing, and I got a big speech from an urban guy saying that in your neighborhood you have to have all these things. You have to have schools and you want to have retirement homes because we're all getting older in Charleswood, and you want to have single family and you want to have multifamily and you want to have low rental. We've got it all. In a two-block radius, we have all of that. We have two senior citizens' homes, the Charleswood, which is way far back off of Roblin. It has great frontage and lots of parking. Next door to it is Vasalund, which is a Swedish home, but I think they'll take anybody. Behind them, there's a very big high-rise that's six stories. I have pictures, too. I'd like you to see all these pictures because I didn't have a PowerPoint. So we have that. Then over behind, I should explain that McCallum is like a horseshoe. It goes in on Elmvale, it goes down by the river, and it comes out on Shelmardine. So behind Elmvale, we have a strip mall with a daycare. We even have a daycare for the kids in the neighborhood. This is the high rise that's six stories just behind Elmvale and a park. Go around the river and you come out on Shelmardine. You can't find a parking spot at Shelmardine at any given time because the overflow from the housing, the multifamily developments in there, there's 40 some odd units. Then there's a three-story income subsidized apartment there. Then you go around and then there's the Charleswood Nursing Home, Vassaland, and then across the street is Scottswood. I didn't see this proposal till today. Tonight's the first time I saw it. It looks really pretty on paper, and I'm sure the developer is going to do a really good job and make it look really nice. That's not the problem. We just don't want it. One of his variances is he's going to go across city property, and we told that the city doesn't mind that because he's traded off 10 feet down next to the pump house. So that's why he took the condo and put it over on the other side, because he gave up 10 feet on that side. It was kind of like a deal. Let's trade here. We'll give you 10 feet. That's why the condo doesn't come out. Those condos are going to be really close, or townhouses. I don't know what he's calling them now. They're going to be really, really close to the sidewalk. And then a little bit about 15 feet that way, there's a crosswalk where all the little kids in our area have to cross Roblin Boulevard to go to Beaumont School. And I kind of thought it was funny that they said his two opposing neighbors don't mind. I gave Destiny all the signed forms, and Mr. Wong is on one side. Mr. Wong didn't speak English. We had to get a translator to go and tell him what was happening, and Mr. Wong's comments are in there, and he's against it. And on the other side, I can't remember the guy's name. It's a young couple. They're having a baby. He's against it, too. So I don't know. We both have signatures saying that it's for it and it's against it. The trees. They want to keep all the trees because we had this big speech, like my husband said before. They want to keep the serenity and the park light. We had seven large trees in our backyard that we got an arborist to come and trim up, and we wanted to protect them. They were seven oaks, and there was a big, nice clump of birch. In the first 3 years we lived there, because Manitoba Hydro had to come in and bring lines in and everything, we lost all those trees. It cost me close to $3,000 to have all those trees removed from my yard. So for him to say that he's going to keep them all, it can't be. My biggest complaint is the way that this has been handled. And he's been coached on this. I phoned Mr. Morantz. Whoops. I phoned him last week to say that his sign was in his backyard behind a tree and behind a fence covered in snow. We never found out about this until January the 6th. And what an opportune time to do it. Let's post a sign when half of our neighborhood has gone south for the winter. It's Christmas. It's 25 below to 30 below. We're not really walking our dogs past his house every day. So that was a little bit of... I think that's a little underhanded. And like I say, we never saw a proposal on this. First, it was to be four residential houses that Paula Haversback said that she wouldn't have a problem with. But then the night that he presented it at Pepperloaf at the community club, it wasn't four residential houses. It was two big giant condos. Then the next one was a senior citizen thing with two-story. Senior citizens really don't want two stories to go outside and shovel their car off the lot. Like, I am a senior citizen. I'm either staying in my bungalow or I'm going in an apartment. So we were really upset with the way, we're upset with all of this. It's been changed so many times, our head's spinning. The additional multifamily, he's not going to get all that on the property. You can put it on a piece of paper. And you can make it look as nice as you can. He can't possibly get all that in there. The two residential houses, his house, I guess he's going to do a revamp to it, and then the other house that he's going to build, I don't have a problem with him if he keeps 25 feet back from the street, like every single other house on that street, behind us, around us, and in the coves. We are all meeting 25 feet variances. But he seems to be able to cross over city property. His house will only be 8 feet from the road. So I don't know. Those are variances that I don't think are very fair. McCallum Crescent is a parking lot for Roblin. all the people that live behind us on Roblin, all down, they have a back lane. Or two or three of them have a driveway, but the rest of them have a back lane. So when they have company, when they have people over in the summertime for a barbecue, Christmas, Easter, whatever, guess where they park? They park on our street. They park on our street now. They park on Elmvale because that housing development all parks there. You can't park on Roblin. He can even put two cars for each unit, but you have company. It's just life. So it all comes over. So these are my pictures. I don't know if Destiny wants to pass them around. I get the urban bit. I understand it. We comply. And even all the things that are around us are very tastefully done. They're all very far back from the curb. Yeah, you can have them. So that's it. And, I mean, I guess, like I said before, it isn't personal. I don't know them. So in our two-block radius, we have two nursing homes, two high-rises at 55-plus. We have two large multifamily things, the thing. We have a daycare. We have two strip malls that sit half empty. And we have a low-income or income-subsidized housing three-story. So, you know, how much more can you cram into two blocks? It's just, we don't think it's fair. Another thing about this is you're going to bring probably, if there's 9 units, there's going to be 18 people. Maybe they'll have some kids. I don't know. Charleswood has 2 doctor's offices. 2. Charleswood Clinic and 1 doctor has a walk-in clinic. My doctor is at the end of St. Anne's Road out by the perimeter. So if we're doing urban planning here, there's a whole lot of other things we need more than what we need multifamily dwellings. That's me.
Okay, thank you very much. Kathy, any questions for Kathy at all?
I just have a question of the clerk. Is there any indication from our inspectors that the notices were posted incorrect?
No, I did receive the inspection report with pictures showing, so at the time the inspector went, the posting was visible.
Thanks.
One thing
Councilor Morass.
Thank you. There is a rule that once matters are set down for hearing that councillors are not supposed to discuss the matter with the applicant or the people in opposition or in support. And I just want to clarify that when I phoned you back, I was calling you to tell you that, and you just had mentioned to me that you had concerns about the positioning of the signage, and that's
no,
all that
you didn't
we,
say anything.
That's
no,
all
you
that we spoke about.
Yeah.
I also want to say that I did. I have been to the site. I've had the opportunity to go and walk it, so I did see on the weekend that the signs were correctly positioned. Although I understand that they may have been, some of the neighbors may have put them where they're more easily accessible.
Right? We did that.
Yeah.
And then we phoned. And then we shouldn't have done that. We should have phoned first and got the city to do it, but we saved them. Yeah. We didn't see those signs until January the 6th.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
People have been out. It's been minus 25, so people have been out. And there was 2 negative comments in our whole neighborhood. 2. And I'll quote what they said. They just said, I don't care what he puts on there. He can put a 10-story apartment. It would be better than what's there now. That's a negative comment. I didn't bring it up tonight. I tried to, you know, so that when they say that the people beside them are in agreeance with it, they're not. You've got signed documents that we dropped off to Destiny. We've got a pile of them. We've got signatures and we've got comments. So, and you know what? These aren't streets and houses. These are families. You know, you kind of got to take a look at that a little. And all the people that were opposing, those were his children. I mean, seriously. I mean, we're here. My husband and I are both, but we got to have a say in this. We have to have a say. And the fact that they went against everything that they want to do now, back in 2000, you kind of got to give your head a shake, because basically this comes down to the only person that's going to benefit from this is him. He will be the only person that benefits from this.
Well, I want to thank you for your presentation. I think it's so important that people, when they live in a community, that they feel comfortable coming forward to a forum like this. I know it's not always easy to come out and talk about these things, and I would encourage community engagement at all times, and I would thank everybody here who's presented today, in support or opposition, of course, and
We're listening carefully.
Okay, I hope so. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Kathy. Appreciate your presentation. Barbara Thiessen.
Yes.
Barbara, yes, thank you. Just one moment, please, Barbara. Linda Taylor, is Linda here? Would Linda like to speak tonight? No? Okay, you're recorded as in opposition, though? Okay. Carolyn Alberti, would like to speak tonight? Are you here recorded in opposition? Okay. Scott Funk and Kathy Brzezinski, are you here? Would you like to speak, Scott? Okay. Kathy, you're here in opposition then? Okay, thank you. So we'll let Scott make his way as well. Appreciate this. Just one second here. Okay, Barbara, correct? Please state your name.
Barbara Thiessen. I live at 62 McCallum Crescent.
Thank you.
I didn't plan to speak, so I really don't have anything prepared. But I just want to reiterate what some of our neighbors have said. My husband Jim and I moved on to Elmvale Crescent about 35 years ago, had our first child there, and moved to another part of the city for 28 years. When we thought our children had moved out, we downsized and we moved on to McCallum Crescent specifically because we'd lived in the area earlier and we knew how quiet, beautiful, safe, and what a neighborhood feel that it had. So we are terrified that now we've been back for 3 years and we might lose what we came back for. I think my neighbors have spoken to meeting the requirement in our area of a wide variety of different kinds of homes, so I don't think that I need to speak to that. A major concern we have is the developer tells us everybody will have two parking spots. But we all know, especially with holidays just having come and gone, how many guests come. When I asked about that at the Legion meeting in the spring, a developer I spoke to said, well, they'll ask their neighbors if they can park in their parking spots, which is ludicrous, or they'll park on Roblin, which is not allowed. They will be on McCallum Crescent, and we won't be able to park our own cars or have our own guests there. I'm an elementary school teacher, so I think about kids, I think about safety. Jim and I were super excited in the spring to see two new families with really young kids move into the block. They're out there playing street hockey, learning to how to ride bikes, walking their dogs. They also said to us that they moved here for the same reason, and that safety is a major concern to all of us with cars being parked and more traffic in the area. We knocked on doors, Jim and I, all weekend with some of our neighbors to get enough support, and Kathy has spoken to the fact that we had to get moving because the signs were basically hidden and we didn't know about this. Everybody that we talk to is in opposition of this for the same reasons that we're all speaking to. We want to preserve what we moved into. We want to preserve our property values. We want to preserve the safety for our children in the neighborhood. And we just basically want what we bought into. And we think that there is enough variety in the neighborhood to accommodate everybody else, and we don't think this fits our neighborhood. And I also think we're all going to lose what we have for one person's financial gain. Thank you.
Hey, thank you very much, Barb. One second. Any questions for her at all? No? Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Okay, calling upon Scott Funk to come. Following Scott, is Bonnie Graham here? And if so, does she wish to speak? You're fine? Okay, so you're recorded as in opposition. Faye Schmidt? Faye, would you like to be recorded in opposition? Okay. David Schmidt? Recorded in opposition? Okay. James Thiessen? Are you here? Would you like to speak? Record in opposition? Okay. Jennifer Ledbrook? Record in opposition, okay. Wade Biggin, would you like to speak? Or you were here recorded in opposition, okay. Brett, is it Woodman? Yeah, would you like to speak, Brett? Okay, would you just come and line up behind Scott there, if you don't mind, please, and we'll hear you after we've heard Scott. So, Scott, go ahead, please state your name and your address? Thank you.
You bet. It's Scott Funk and 15 Shelmerdine Drive. And I don't have a ton of notes. My passionate neighbors really seem to hit everything on the point, but I felt it important to speak because my property backs right on to the townhouse proposal development, the larger section there. And I'm definitely very concerned. We're newer to the neighborhood. We bought the house. We moved in October 2012. And, you know, it's something where I think everybody here wants to protect property value. And, I mean, I can speak if I had a 32-plus foot townhouse in my backyard rather than the trees and that are there now, we wouldn't have purchased, I don't think, because this is something that the tranquility and the park-like setting of Charleswood is what attracted us to the area. And, I mean, really, that's about it. That all our neighbors have really kind of pointed out all the facts and the issues. You know, we've got variety in the neighborhood. We've got the subsidized housing in front of us. There's lots of spots for people to move into, and it just doesn't conform to the community that we wanted to move into. So I just felt important to say because my property is probably one of the most affected with this. So thank you.
Thank you, Scott. Any questions for Scott? No. I just have one. So you're located, I'm just looking at a map here. So you're located, are you on Shelmerdine?
We're the second house in on Shelmerdine Drive when you come off of Roblin. Okay, so
you're across from the...
Yeah, we're across from the subsidized housing. Yeah. And with the proposed zoning, we back on to the area that they want to put up the townhouses in.
Yeah, okay, good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, call Brett forward. And just before you begin, Brett, Alora Meyer, are you here? Would you like to speak? You're recorded in opposition, Alora? Right, okay. Alana Meyer, same, recorded in opposition. Andrew Urbanowitz, I might have got that wrong, sorry. Okay, recorded in opposition, thank you. Is it, did I get this right? Eden O'Connor? Please speak. Would you please make your way forward then for us? Thank you. And then Rod Rashid. Rod, are you here? Would you like to speak tonight, Rod? Okay, it's recorded in opposition. Okay, so we'll hear Brett and then we'll hear Eden as well. So thank you. Go ahead, Brett.
Hi, my name is Brett. I live at 15 Elmbell. My wife and I purchased the property last September. We've since been blessed to have a young daughter as well, tied to our family. I believe Barb was referring to maybe us as well. My daughter's not playing hockey yet, but she will be. With regard to the property, you know, I didn't necessarily come here with the intention of speaking. I didn't prepare a large amount of notes, but I think there are a few items maybe to cover on here as well. First of all, is the question of necessarily who benefits from this development of adding a multi-family dwelling to the community. There's already development right across from the street on Roblin, on Scottswood. There's almost always a real estate sign for sale there. You can go on Comfrey right now. I'm sure there'll be at least one or two properties for sale. I think that's a great indication of what is and is not necessarily needed in the community. They're there, and they're available as well. With regard to precedent, having only moved to the community only a year ago, but having lived in Charleswood for 20 years of my life, I've grown used to the community. I love the way the yards are divided, the way the streets are set up. All of those things are unique to Charleswood. I've lived all across Canada and in Europe as well, and it's not something you can ever find. I've always looked forward to coming home. With regard to precedent and what has been set, as a result of my recent move to the community, I can't necessarily speak to some of the meetings that have been had regarding the variances that were requested in 2000. But as recently as last year, there was a variance request for Elmhurst and Apex to develop what is right now a vacant field there. The request, I believe, had 11 separate single-family dwellings on it, and that variance was also denied. Primarily because that variance, again, did not fit in with the community. They didn't have the opposition that we have tonight, That opposition that in that night was considered very strongly, and I think it is evident tonight here as well. That's basically all I have to say.
Thank you very much, Brett. Any questions for Mr. Woodman at all? No? Okay. Thank you for your comments tonight. We appreciate it. Okay, I believe, is it Eden? Do I have Edie? Okay, sorry. Edie O'Connor?
Correct.
Thank you. Could you please state your name and address for us?
Thank you. I'm probably going to repeat a lot of already what was said, but I feel it just bears repeating. My name is Edie O'Connor, and I reside at 30 McCallum Crescent, and I am the third property over from the proposed multi-complex dwelling next door to the Ledbrooks and the Nugents. And I do not support the application for the plan of the subdivision and the zoning and the variances that 5715 Roblin have asked for. I strongly object to the changes outlined in this development in order to facilitate and allow land use that cannot be established under the current existing zoning rules. In order to accomplish this planned subdivision, 5715 Roblin is requesting significant changes to allow for this multifamily complex as well as the single family dwellings. I have relied on the community and the residential master plan for this area when I decided to construct my home on McCallum Crescent in 2002. With this decision, I had respected and regarded the zoning as a promise that the integrity of this quiet residential area would be maintained without further expansion. The multiple housing complex will, without question, result in a larger population, making this residential area more crowded, will definitely increase noise level and visual intrusion on my peace and privacy in varying degrees, as with the other neighbors. An increase in traffic is certainly a concern of mine on McCallum Crescent, Elmvale, Christopher Cove, Sandy Cove, Shelmardine, and Community Row, if this multi-complex is approved. As parking is not allowed on Roblin Boulevard, this will allow for an overflow of parking onto these residential streets. There is already an existing problem in this regard, very apparent on McCallum Crescent. There certainly, as mentioned before, will create a safety issue for the children living and playing in this neighborhood. And in addition, in front of my home is a fire hydrant, which is continually being compromised as a result of the inadequate parking, illegal parking. This also lends itself to improper parking for many vehicles, which partially obstruct driveways, sidewalks, as well as the adjoining streets and roadways. And for me, this definitely poses safety concerns. Should I need an emergency vehicle, my ambulance or fire truck won't be able to gain access because there are parking issues. Furthermore, I'd like to mention that can I be guaranteed this application request will not have an impact on my property tax or perhaps, as mentioned before, decrease my property value? These questions also come to mind when considering this proposal. In conclusion, I'm not opposed to single residential building lots that are constructed in accordance with the existing zoning rules and regulations. The application of 5715 Roblin should comply with these zoning ordinances and rules to protect and maintain the structure of this beautiful area. My concern that the request for a multiple family complex is solely for personal financial gain and will in no way enhance or benefit our community. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. O'Connor. Are there any questions for her at this time? No? Okay.
Your lot was empty? Yeah, in 2002, so it was brand new then, right?
I'm sorry?
You built your house in 2002?
Correct.
So I guess it was empty. There was nothing on the lot at that time.
There was an empty lot. There was three lots in a row, the Nugents, Ledbrooks, and myself all built in the same time frame. And comply to all the rules that were given to us, and I feel that they should be carried on.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Anyone else in opposition that has not maybe filled out a form and would like to speak to this at all? Just want to make sure that we haven't missed anybody. All right. Okay, then, and we have one who is here, maybe two. Is it Leandra and Moreno Alberti here for information? Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
They can speak if they like.
You can speak if you like. Would you have anything you'd like to say or any question? No? Okay, thank you. Okay, is there anyone else here? I just want to give one last opportunity to make sure we haven't missed anyone who would like an opportunity to speak. Okay, then, at this time, we'll ask Mr. Wintrop, the applicant, to make his way back to the microphone, please.
Thank you. Once again, I want to really thank the residents who came out again tonight. I believe they've stated that they've gone to a couple of these events. Those were public open houses, not public hearings. This is the first and only public hearing I know of for this property. I'm going to go through a lot of the comments. I've been listening for the last 45 minutes to an hour of what everyone had to say. I'll try to address as pretty much many of their concerns. Just to get into public notification for public hearings, the City of Winnipeg published in the two daily newspapers. I don't have the exact date, but it would have been back in December, the date, time, location of this public hearings. The posters were placed on the property by myself, actually 4 days before the public hearing. I did it on Boxing Day, the day after Christmas, because I knew people would be out and about. I placed it in such a manner that was in accordance with the City of Winnipeg regulations and bylaws. If anybody actually went onto the private property and moved the signs around, they did so. I'm not sure if they then followed the City of Winnipeg regulations and you were trespassing. We'll let it go, but my understanding that the administration agrees that the public hearing was being properly duly notified. We're not trying to hide anything. We've been trying to engage people. We'd like to have them come to the public hearing. We've been talking with them at open houses. We've notified people. We're looking to engage the residents. Going back to 2000, I'm not sure where everybody else was in 2000. I happened to be a little bit involved in planning in Winnipeg at that time. The previous application, I don't believe I would have professionally supported either. It was calling for multiple family along McCollum, two lots along McCollum, four along Roblin. I don't, and it was almost a through lot with a back lane running from Roblin to McCollum. I don't think I would have supported that either. I believe the characteristics of McCollum should be single family dwellings. I agree that with my clients on that aspect, and that's why we're proposing a single-family dwelling on McCollum. What we're proposing today is something very radically different than what was being proposed 15 years ago. We're not proposing multiple-family along McCollum. That's what that was being proposed, like I said, back in 2000. The first speaker spoke about that. A couple people also spoke about 2000. The first speaker spoke about smaller lots being shoehorned in. Just to let people know, the size of lot that we're proposing on McCollum for the new single-family dwelling is 7,000 square feet. Majority of the lots, if you look at the study I submitted along McCollum, are 6,000 to 8,000 square feet. We're right in there. We're not the smallest lot. We're not the largest lot, but we're not being shoehorned in. The existing house that will stay is going to be on an 8,000 square foot lot. That is a very large lot. That's going to remain. So we're not shoehorning anything in. Our lots that we're proposing along McCollum are compatible, if not larger, than the surrounding lots on McCollum. Second speaker also talked about all residents being opposed to this. Once again, we had an open house. We've handed in letters of support signed by people, by a number of residents. They talked about the quaintness and quietness of Charleswood, that large lots, the idea of keeping all the trees on the site and the appearance of it. We agree. The administration is actually having us, as part of a condition of approval, having arbitrous report submit a plan. Unlike the ideally, we like to keep as many trees for the buffering and the privacy. It actually adds to the value of the property. We're not looking to rip down as many. But I don't believe it's contingent on a private property owner to provide a park-like space for the surrounding neighborhood of keeping trees. He has a legal right now to come in there and cut down every single tree and put in grass and do whatever he wants. He's not looking to do that. That's his right. But it's not really contingent on him to provide park and open space for everyone else to enjoy trees and a quaint little forest on Roblin Road. Something's going to happen there, and I don't believe the trees, as many as there are going to stay, but they're certainly not all going to be eliminated. That addresses some of the concerns about privacy, noise, issues regarding the trees would act as a buffer. The mature trees, we like to keep them to screen against the adjacent properties. A lot of questions came up about, I've heard this many times, about adjacent property values being negative. I've been through a couple of public hearings now. I've been part of teams that have published reports. I've yet to see where any property value has decreased because of approval of a multiple family. The last one I did was on White Ridge. I was not in the private sector at that time. It was across from the Costco. In that neighborhood, residents came out and said that it was going to negatively affect their value. A study was completed and showed the exact opposite. We're staying the same. Not to break the news to residents here, there's a couple members of the finance board here, but your property values are going up not because of changes in land use, but because of demand, and also your property taxes are going up. But the value of houses have gone up in the last, I do believe, 2 or 3 years, about 129%. That's just because of demand, market supply, etc. This won't negatively affect it. I get to see a study of it, and your values are going up. Light spillage, somebody mentioned that about that. Once again, we're having trees. The walkway easement being eliminated from McCollum to Roblin, we're not building a structure or a fencing or anything on the City of Winnipeg land. We're providing a corner of a parking, of a concrete driveway. It's an easement. The city, we're not going to prevent people from walking from McCollum to Roblin along that land drainage pipe area. If the city wants to do that, that's up to them. They can do that today, but we're not negatively affecting that. We're okay with people using that and walking through. In fact, one of the conditions that this committee can come up with is actually my clients having to make improvements to that to establish a more permanent walkway there to make it look a lot nicer, whether it's landscaping, lighting, or a pathway, an AT pathway. That would actually facilitate something really nice for the neighborhood here. Traffic on nearby streets. Once again, all the traffic that we're going to have is being directed to Roblin Boulevard. Yes, I do admit, and this is across Winnipeg, whether it's Morgan Crescent out in St. James, Sharon Bay, North Kadonan, Deer Lodge Place. These are public right-of-ways. People park on them. Yes, at certain times of year, such as Christmas, people park on the streets and walk to somebody's house. I just want to stress that once again, we're looking at multiple family. The market we're targeting is mostly aging baby boomers. There's a demand for that. Parking would be pretty far away from McCollum or Shalmerdine to walk to this place. If once or twice a year you're having a small get-together in your 1,200-square-foot unit and you need to park on the street, we're not talking about parking there every day. The street right-of-ways are provided. People park on them all across Winnipeg. That addressed a lot of the concerns regarding parking on the streets. We're keeping the trees. Who benefits to this development? A lot of people benefit, including the City of Winnipeg and as well as the residents. The more multifamily you have, the more intensification, the more sustainable the city is. That's one of the guiding principles of our Winnipeg. I don't want to get too much into that, but that's why there's intensification of existing cities on existing services to help pay for these costs for sewer, water, et cetera, through densification. In terms of there's no need for any more because there's enough in the neighborhood, in 2014, there were 10 condos for sale and 42 single-family dwellings. In 2014, we have a waiting list of over 40 people right now looking to buy a unit. So there's a higher demand there than there is what is a supply. People want to stay in the neighborhood. They are attracted to the same reasons why they're staying here or wanting to move here. The idea is aging in place, is the idea that you can stay within your community but not be in a personal care home. You can buy a nice unit but not have to get a second mortgage after you're an aging baby boomer and you're scaling down, and you can stay near the medical clinics, the religious institutions, the neighborhood that you've grown up in or have raised your kids in. You can stay within the neighborhood. It's a very guiding principle of our Winnipeg as well as the Winnipeg Regional Health Authority. I've tried to address as many of the concerns of the residents. If there was something that could come up with, or they said there were, I didn't hear any concerns about height. I had concerns about yards. We're respecting the yards. Right now we can go to 4 feet on each side. We're providing greater than that. We're looking to keep the trees to screen it. We're providing large lots. If there was something I had heard from the residents where I could make a change to the site plan or do something to address their concerns, I'd be more than happy to do that. We've been doing that all the way along. I'm open to hearing any suggestions from the committee here and taking any of your questions.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Winthrop. Are there any questions that you would have, Mr. Council Morantz?
A couple questions, firstly. Yeah, thank you very much for your presentation, Mr. Winthrop. I keep switching glasses. Reading and sight. Probably a lot of people here know what I'm talking about. But anyway,
I have the same problem.
Yeah, it's really aggravating. But anyway, just a couple of questions. One is with respect to the right-of-way between McCallum and Roblin. You said in your presentation that you would have no problem with people crossing your driveway. Of course, if the subdivision were permitted, Lot 2 could be sold with that easement for the driveway to McCallum now intact, and a new owner might have a different view of that. Is that not correct?
Yeah, we're just looking to have a driveway for an approach. It could be paving stone. It could be concrete. Yeah.
What I'm asking about is you said you have no problem with people crossing the driveway, but I'm saying a new owner, you can't.
No, even then, because the new owner is asking legal permission to say, can I cross this land to get to my house? Right now, if anybody's walking across the city could put a fence up there and say, stay out. What we're saying is just to guarantee the homeowner that they can't block anybody else. That's what a cross-access easement would be, with something like that, where the homeowner could cross across the city land to get to their property. And we're talking only a small triangle, not the entire thing. That the city could not fence that off and say, we're denying you access. They could do that today. If anything, that would legally establish that to stay open, and the homeowner can't block his driveway or put a fence up to prevent somebody else. It's the city's land. We're just asking permission to cross it.
So I just want to make sure that a new owner couldn't say to a pedestrian, you can't cross my driveway, this is my driveway?
We would put that on the
that would be in the agreement. Okay. And you commented that your target market is aging baby boomers, but this project isn't technically marketed as a 55-plus project, or is it?
Is it being marketed for 65 plus?
As a 55 plus.
Yeah, 55 plus. Yeah, that's, and we actually have our real estate agent here if he wants to elaborate. But yeah, that's the marketing. Like the market now is aging baby boomers who want smaller condos to downsize, and that's going to be the market probably for the next 25, 30 years.
I haven't seen that in any of the presentations unless I missed something where you said that this is specifically 55 plus.
Because legally I can't market towards on somebody's age only and say only seniors, only 55 plus, or that's what the market is. That's the biggest percentage of the market, and those are the people with the money who can buy these condos. But we can't legally, because of the charter rights and freedom, just market or indicate solely only people of a certain age or religion or ethnicity can live in this. That would get me in trouble somewhere else.
Okay, fair enough. Will these units on these individual lots be registered as condominiums, or how will you have titles?
Condominiums. Like the idea is that there would be a four-unit condo. We'd create the lots, and then each unit would a condo unit, and split it that way.
And would there be any restriction on the ability of an owner of one of these units to rent out their units?
No, we could probably place that on there. That would be part of the condominium corporation that could be drafted up in the minutes to say there's a restriction on restricting. I don't believe the city of Winnipeg can. Once again, nor can I, because under the charter rights, you can't indicate this can only be rental or this can only be owner-occupied. Zoning public hearings are about multifamily or single family, not tenureship. I'd have to take a close look at that and make sure I'm not skirting any kind of issues.
Yeah, fair enough.
Okay, those are all the questions I have.
Mr. Interrupt, again, thank you for your presentation. At the public consultations, was this, which you proposed to our committee tonight, was that the scope and the scale of the project that you proposed at the public consultations?
I wasn't involved in the first one, and this is, I think I've showed you pictures of what the first one was, and this is quite different. The only difference between this one and the one I was involved in was that we've actually reduced the number of units and reorientated the building. We heard people at that public engagement, and the resident, one of the residents directly to the east had a concern. So we, at the front building on Roblin, we slightly orientated it away from their yard, and we reduced the number of units from 10 down to 9. So I did hear people at that open house, and I wanted to address their concerns, and that was the only change, was the building on the front. We reduced the number of units from 10 to 9 and reoriented it to try to make the neighbor next door more happy, because he was concerned about people looking in his backyards. I'm looking to, that was the only change we made.
And when, can you give me the date again of that? Or
the public open house, I believe, was in, I want to say, April of last year. We made those changes probably around June or July in making the application to the City of Winnipeg.
Okay. Thank you.
And then it was processed like that. But so we made it less intense.
And just another question for clarity. The current house, the present house that is there, you indicate there's plan that it would stay, and that's, is that currently on proposed lot number 2? Is that
yes.
What I'm looking at?
That would stay on an 8,000 square foot lot, yeah.
With access then coming off McCallum?
Yes.
And the proposed lot 1, obviously, to the north?
Yes. We had heard after the first public open house that people did not want to see multifamily in McCallum. I agree with that, and proposed some single-family dwellings and reorientated the existing house to take access to try to complete that corner of McCallum of all single-family dwellings.
Okay. Thank you. That's all the questions I have at this time. Councillor Moran, or Dobson, any further questions at all? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Once again, thank you to the residents for coming out.
Yes. Yeah. So we'll express, okay, Councillor Morantz expressed that, and we'd like to thank all those that have presented and come tonight. We appreciate that. Okay. Are there any? Does anyone have any questions for the planners at this time?
You know, I look at this project and I did go and walk the site. It just seems like a very awkward piece of land. When I look at it, it just sort of, and I have some sympathy for the property owners. I think they want to find something better to do with it, but it is sort of stuck in between. I just find it to be quite an awkward piece of land generally for this type of development, and it looks just like it's stuck in between bunch of a number of residential homes that have been there for a number of years, and I'm just wondering, like, in terms of from a planning perspective, how you came about your rationale to recommend an approval of this, given the fact that it's basically surrounded by single family homes, and we're being asked to change the zoning on a large portion of the land to multifamily. And is this something that you would recommend normally?
Sure. I think there's quite a number of reasons why we would support the rezoning to multifamily on the southern portion of the property, and I guess one of the more significant considerations is that the City of Winnipeg is growing, and in order to address that growth, we need to start looking at where we can accommodate infill and density. So when we see that this property is fronting onto Roblin Boulevard, which is a major arterial street, we say that, yes, we can support multifamily with consideration to respect the adjacent character and context of the neighborhood. These are policies that are identified in complete communities, which is the development plan that guides development in the City of Winnipeg. With respect to maintaining the character and context of the area, we reference what we have as draft infill guidelines, and in those guidelines it speaks about form and the ability to accommodate compatible infill. And when we looked at the requirements in these infill guidelines and compared it to what the proposal was, we found that it met several of those requirements. We've put a few conditions on the property or on the development to ensure that that we're able to maintain a significant number of trees. We do believe that that is a strong characteristic of the area, and we would strongly recommend that a number of the trees be preserved where possible. We've requested that an arborist report and a site survey indicating the location of trees be submitted so that we have a more accurate understanding as to where those trees are and what the survivability of those trees might be based on the development. For the single-family dwellings, we found that the proposed lot sizes were compatible with several of the lots located along McCallum and Shelmerdine. And so we were comfortable with supporting the subdivision rezoning of those lands as well.
One of the presenters said something about a trade-off of land near the pump house for the driveway easement on lot 2 to McCallum. Do you know what that was about?
I might have been a misunderstanding. It's not necessarily a trade-off, but a requirement that was set out in the servicing agreement, indicating that Water and Waste would like to see a 10-foot setback from the property line for any development that occurs on the subject site.
So basically the city is saying, you know, we're in support of this from a planning perspective in terms of rezoning, but we require a setback at this point.
And that's based on the engineer. There's a pump station right beside it.
So there was no quid pro quo, as might have been inferred in the presentation, that a driveway was agreed to.
Well, the driveway goes on to McCullough.
Yeah.
But it crosses our property where the sewer and water is.
Yeah.
And so they've asked for access to it.
But they're separate. Driveway. They're not connected.
But it's not connected.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
Those two issues. Okay. Those are all the questions I have for the planner.
So then, just to the planners, there would remain then, I'm just looking at a map here and over an aerial view, there would remain basically an easement or a, I'll call it an easement, you know, the city would maintain from the pump house north a strip of...
There's two very large things
there.
Yeah. So, yes, the city would maintain that.
Okay. Any further questions at this time? Just making sure I've gone through all of it. What I'm hearing consistently from, you know, from those in opposition is concern around traffic. That seems to be, you know, there's many concerns, but certainly concerns around traffic. So I can just tell you that both those that have come in opposition, those that are presented in support, I can assure you we look at these very, very carefully and listen and, again, appreciate all of your submissions. What are your thoughts, Mr. Councillor of the area?
I came off a pretty grueling election, and I knocked on thousands and thousands of doors. I probably came to some of the houses of the people who are presenting here tonight, and I'm sure we spoke. Many, many people expressed to me concern around essentially life, full cycle housing needs. There are many people who are entering their retirement years who own homes in Charleswood who are looking for a way to stay in the neighborhood. And there have been a number of projects, but there is a demand out there and a concern still, and I've heard that consistently at the door. So I understand why this proposal is coming forward, but I just, when I look at it, and I did walk it, it just seems like a very awkward, even with the greatest respect, to the fact that it's been pared down significantly from the original, the very original proposal. It just seems like a very awkward place to build multi-unit condominiums. I do have some sympathy for the property owner because it looks like a, underutilized piece of property, and maybe there's some other design that could be brought forward that might be amenable to the community. But also have to look at the opposition and many, many cogent arguments around this, and I think, to be honest with you, I would feel the same way. So I'm having a lot of trouble coming around to the idea that I could support this application. I have listened to very carefully to both arguments. That's sort of where I'm sitting right now. This would be the very first time I may have disagreed with our planners. I have a great deal of respect for our planners, and I think they do good work. But I'm not sure that this, from my perspective anyway, I'm only one person on this community committee out of three. I'm having a lot of trouble with the idea that something like this should be built on that piece of land. So those would be my comments. So yes, I will make the motion, yeah. It's up, this one up here, I think, right?
It's the fault.
Oh, sorry, it's the fault. Okay.
It's the fault.
I move that the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
It has been moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
I move that the receipt of public representations be concluded.
It's been moved. All in favor say aye.
Aye.